This book is for M. Let me fall if I must fall. The one I will become will catch me. The Baal Shem Tov. From my office window, I see my husband on the driveway below. It's the dead of winter, and he's wearing nothing but a white terry cloth bathrobe, his feet stuffed into galoshes. A gust of wind lifts the hem of the bathrobe, exposing his pale legs as he stands on a sheet of snow-covered ice. His hair is more salt than pepper. His breath makes vaporous clouds in the cold. Walls of snow are packed against the sides of the driveway. White fields spread out to the woods in the distance. The sky is chalk. A rifle rests easily on his shoulder, pointed at the northernmost corner of our roof. So, he bought the gun. I take a long sip of coffee. Our two dogs are sleeping on the rug next to my desk chair. The old demented one is snoring. There's nothing I can do but watch as M squeezes the trigger. Bam! I start and the dogs leap up. The windows rattle. The whole house shakes. The woodpecker had arrived the previous fall. Once he chose our house, he seemed quite content, settled in, as if he had every intention of staying a while. At first, I had no idea where the noise was coming from. Rat-tat-tat. From my study, it sounded like a loose shutter banging, though we had no shutters. It was almost a city sound, like a faraway jackhammer, out of place in the quiet of the country. Rat-tat-tat-tat-tat. Of course, it seemed possible, too, that the infernal banging was entirely in my mind. My head, wrote Virginia Woolf, is a hive of words that won't settle. I couldn't hold a thought. It was as if an internal axis had been jarred and tilted downward. Words and images slipped through a chute into a dim, murky pool from which I could not retrieve them. Finally, I spotted the woodpecker from my son's bathroom window. Perched on a drain pipe just below the wood-shingled roof, he was a small brown bird with a tiny head and a pointy beak that moved back and forth with astonishing speed as he hammered away at what was an already sizable hole in the side of the house. Rat-tat-tat. It had been a time of erosion, I'd begun to see in metaphor. We'd lived in the house for 12 years and things were falling apart. The refrigerator stopped working one day. The banister warped and the spindles on the staircase loosened and clattered to the floor. An old neglected apple tree on our property split in two, its trunk as hollow as a drum. The house needed painting. The well needed fracking, whatever that meant. The front door was cracked, and on winter days a sliver of wind could be felt inside. Late that same fall of the woodpecker, as I sat reading at the kitchen table one afternoon, two large, mangy creatures loped across the meadow. One gray, the other a pale, milky brown. They were otherworldly, terrifying. My spine tingled. I grabbed my phone to take their picture, then texted it to M, who was in the city that day. Wolves? No. Sure? Yes, coyotes. Not coyotes. I know coyotes. The basement regularly flooded. If the wind blew in a certain way during a heavy rainfall, we could count on a half inch of water in the workroom where M kept projects in varying states of half completion. On a long table, he had hundreds of photos cut into stamp-sized pieces. These he planned to assemble into a photo collage. A finished one from years earlier hangs in our guest bathroom. I never tire of looking at it. Our now teenaged son as a toddler, hoisted on the shoulders of a friend, a smiling, radiant man whose daughter will later fall to her death from a Brooklyn rooftop. My mother in a hat to cover her bald head months before she died. My mother-in-law before Alzheimer's set in. The three of us, my little family and I, on the steps of our Brooklyn townhouse, then older, on the porch of our house in Connecticut. Alive.